Hello and welcome to the One Thing podcast, where we all get to usher in the new age of humanity, which we're calling Homo Spiritus, by practicing dancing with the one thing that individuals, communities, and countries have yet to try en masse. And that one thing is a connection to our higher self, the higher anatomy part of ourselves that people call by various different names. So please use whatever name makes you feel like this this source of all life is both personal and universal. It needs to be both. And our prime directive as a human being above all else is to make and constantly return to this one thing connection day in and day out, as our first step, very first step, in dealing with life problems rather than viewing life problems as things that we can solve separately or disconnected from the one thing connection. And in this episode, we're going to offer some valuable clarity about conspiracy theories that we tend to end up looking at through the lens of the one thing or disconnected from the one thing. So let's go.
Okay. I'm really excited about this episode because in the course of my lifetime, I have never seen conspiracies as widely talked about and as kind of controversial on virtually every aspect of society. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in the past, I could get away with kind of pretty much ignoring conspiracy theories unless they really jumped out at me as interesting. And now I can't get away from them day after day after day. And so I'm excited for us to do this episode because conspiracy theories can be seductive or repulsive. They can either stir the pot of truth or they can stir the pot of paranoia. And you and I think, have some cool things, valuable things, I believe, to share about developing a useful relationship with this whole area of what gets called conspiracy theories. And of course, as we like to do when we're talking about topics that have multiple definitions, we like to start with some definitions. Exactly. So take it away.
Yeah, so we'll just define each of the words conspiracy in theory and then conspiracy theory. And I want to also just front load this, that we're not really going to be talking about specific conspiracy theories, and we're not going to be telling you which conspiracy theories we think are true or not true, because we don't know. What we're going to be doing is pointing you in a direction or pointing you into an internal way for you to actually discover the truth for yourself.
So conspiracy theory education.
Yeah, exactly. So let's define first the word conspiracy. So this is straight out of the dictionary. And so the definition of conspiracy is a secret plan by a group to do something unlawful or harmful. And synonyms to conspiracy might be words like plot, plan, machination, cabal, deception, ploy, trick, ruse, collusion, or treason.
Right. And the word theory, the dictionary definition of the word theory, is a supposition or system of ideas that are intended to explain something, a set of principles on which the practice of an activity is based, an idea used to account for a situation or justify a course of action, and theory is also used to describe what is supposed to happen or supposed to be possible, at least from that supposition or system of ideas that's being used to attempt to explain something.
Right. And so we're going to define conspiracy theory now, bringing those two words together. So this is the definition of conspiracy theory. It's the theory that an event or phenomenon occurs as a result of a conspiracy between interested parties, a belief that some covert but influential agency, typically political in motivation and oppressive in intent, is responsible for an unexplained event.
Right. An agency may or may not mean like a federal agency. It's sure. an influential agent, right?
Or group,
yeah. And not agent like spy.
Right. Agent as in one who has agency.
Yes, an operator.
Yeah, there we go.
And so what we're going to do is we're gonna kick this off by tying this in with something that we've talked about in a number of prior episodes, having to do with individual and collective projection. So what projection is where there is something about me, whether it's something I judge to be negative or something I judge to be positive about me, but I haven't owned it in myself, and instead I hurl it out onto other people or onto the world, and I see those negative or positive traits out there, but not in myself. So that's essentially what projection is. And projection, because of that, by definition, is a symptom of being disconnected internally, because if I'm disowning something about myself and I'm seeing it out in the world and then thinking, okay, there's something wrong in the world and I have to change the outer world in order for me to be okay, I've really missed the forest for the trees, because with projection, this is a part of me that needs attention, and no amount of attempting to change the outer world is going to fix that problem, because it's an inner problem. So we have spoken about that before, and about how this throws individuals, countries, and world events into disarray. And so there are conspiracy theories that are out there, and we're going to unpack kind of separating the wheat from the chaff. Again, like Lori said, not in terms of specific conspiracy theories, but in terms of understanding the variations on that, on conspiracy theory. And that'll become clearer in a moment. But that if we have a magnetic attraction to any latest conspiracy theory that comes out, we just latch onto it, lock, stock, and barrel. Or if we take the opposite extreme perspective that says there are no conspiracies out there at all, all of that's disowned projection, because that means that we're basically saying that we don't know how to discern the truth from falsehood about ourselves internally.
Yeah. And another thing about projection is that the fact that we hurl what we can't see in ourselves outwardly, or we get triggered by something outwardly, doesn't make us bad or wrong or broken. It's simply a message of intelligence. Hey, there's something here to look at. And that message gets louder and louder and more dramatic if we just choose not to notice or to, you know, heed the call, so to speak.
I'm really glad you added that, because projection is human.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to fix there. The only thing, the thing that you're underlining that I want to add my voice to is that with projection, really what separates the men from the boys and the women from the girls is the willingness to look at the projection, to own it, to get the gold from that, to spot projection when we're doing projection. It's not about, oh, we're a better person when we never do any projection. It's about using projection as a learning tool about ourselves or not.
Yeah, and to bring the aspects of ourselves that are you know, the part of us that the feathers get ruffled to a point of healing. You know, I call it healing to wholeness, or bringing that energy to rest. So one of the ways that conspiracy theories, and, you know, we could even just set aside conspiracy theories and talk about nutrition. What's that?
I'm just imagining our listeners going, well, there's a leap.
Right. But here's the analogy is that there's so much information out on nutrition that it causes confusion and opaqueness. I hear this all the time. I've been hearing it for 35 years. It causes uncertainty and fear and a search for the right way to eat and the right diet and all of those things. And so, you know, nobody would call nutrition a conspiracy theory, but conspiracy theories, when they're, you know, when they're operating purposefully, they do tend to make, they cause an opaqueness. They cause a sense of uncertainty. They cause a sense of confusion and fear and a search. This is what happens on the inside is then we want to search for a hidden outer enemy instead of fixing the inner problem, which David already alluded to. And here's the whole point of all of that. If you're feeling opaque about any given topic and you're not sure if it's a conspiracy theory, or you
and opaque, by the way, means hidden.
Hidden, yeah, or uncertain, or it's confusing. You there's not clarity, or you feel anxious or fearful about it, or you feel like you want to lash outward rather than going inward to where the energy, the only place the energy can be tended. This is a sign that more likely than not, one is disconnected from the source of life, because in the connection of the source of life, yes, we can observe things happening, and maybe even it triggers us, but right away, we have the capacity to tend to that energy from the inside out. And then while things are still happening on the outside, we don't need to hurl energy. We don't need to project. We don't need to make an enemy outside of ourselves to fight, which is happening all over the world right now in, you know, individually and collectively and, you know, in countries and all of that. So it's, you know, this may sound fantastical, but honestly, it's imperative that we understand how this works and we take responsibility for doing our part of the work so that that more and more can have access to it. So there's less and less projection and conspiracy necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. And this also ties into the issue of, or the matter of self-sovereignty, because what we've found is that there's a pretty widespread tendency to put our own self-sovereignty in the hands of external people, situations, authorities, to give away our power. And the way that shows up in the context of self-sovereignty is, I'll be okay when, and then fill in the blank with some external change that needs to happen in order for me to be okay, in order for me to be authentic or in my power, or however one wants to put that. And the thing that we really want to impress, and we'll tie this in with conspiracy theory as we keep building these building blocks around understanding the notion and the nature of conspiracy theories and of things that aren't conspiracy theories that get labeled conspiracy theories, is that self-sovereignty has connected with the one that, with higher love, higher wisdom, no matter what the external circumstance happens to be. And when I, and it's not an if, it's a when I in my humanness lose that connection, when I in my humanness lose my internal state of lovingness and connectedness and peace and well-being, because I am telling myself that an external situation has to change before I can be okay again, that's a wake-up call that's telling me, oh, I'm disconnected from the one thing. And the first thing to do, of course, in those situations is for me to reconnect with the one thing before I proceed any further. That's the heart of self-sovereignty. And in the face of opacity, opaqueness, hiddenness, and in the face of the never-ending barrage that we've been in and will continue to be in, as far as we know, for some period of time to come, this chronic uncertainty, instead of going into fear that buys into an external locus of control, as we say in psychology, meaning that the world is the boss of me, that has, you know, that whole notion that that externals are the boss of us. And even if there's truth to that, if it's not the full or larger truth, the idea here is to go within first to reconnect with source, because even if an external situation is limiting my range of choices, external situations never, ever limit the perspective that I can have about my limited range of choices. I'm always responsible for my perspective, even when I didn't invent the circumstances that I find myself in.
Right, right. It's important. So there's something to just be aware of, and that is, you know, we all hold beliefs based on what we've gathered up until this point in our life, cultural, familial beliefs we've come in with in our DNA, what we read in books and see on the news and all of that. And if we cultivate a belief because it's the same idea over a period of time, then what can tend to happen when we hear about a conspiracy theory or we're reading about it or, you know, just investigating, there's like an instantaneous collapse in our mind between the belief that has been, coming to fruition in ourselves, or maybe is already very solid, and the outer conspiracy. And it's like the mind says, aha, there's the evidence I was looking for. I knew it was true. And, you know, it could be the other way around. I know that's not true, or, you know, however, and anything in between. But here's the point about our beliefs, is that our beliefs are almost always, they're not the higher truth, the larger truth, you know, the cleaner truth, if you will. And I have personally learned that I can only have access to that higher truth, that cleaner truth, when I'm connected to the one thing, because that's the feed of truth in the first place. And there sometimes can be quite a difference between what I believe and what is really true. And so this is a way to just stay in your center and question, and we'll talk about some of this stuff, but instead of just automatically going down the rabbit hole and, you know, and assuming that your belief is correct, just take a minute, take a breath, you know, connect and just investigate a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. I'm a real fan of being what was identified to me decades and decades ago as being an open skeptic. So I'm inherently skeptical. I don't believe anything at face value, even if it matches my preconceptions. I am skeptical and I am open. So I am absolutely teachable. Right. So that's, yeah. It's that open skepticism that I think is really the sweet spot that opens me up to asking myself, what would this situation look like, or how would I understand this situation or make sense of this situation through the eyes of love, through the eyes of higher wisdom, rather than through the eyes of fear and paranoia and they're out to get me and all of that kind of stuff. So this brings us to the twisted nature of conspiracy theories. You know, there are some things that are labeled as conspiracy that actually aren't. They're really happening, but in covert enough ways that most people don't see them. And what Lori and I are trying to get at with that is that they're hiding in plain sight. A little more investigation, a little bit more research on the internet, and with some of these situations, you'll find out, oh yeah, this has been known and established for a long time, but because it's not commonly understood or commonly talked about or commonly embraced, then when somebody brings it up, it must be a conspiracy theory. Well, you know, some things aren't. They're actually happening. So that's one of the things we want to impart about how the whole labeling of conspiracy theories gets really twisted.
Yeah. And this is where it becomes important to be discerning and to practice this idea of being discerning when it comes to conspiracy. Well, for everything, but this topic is conspiracy theories. Is that like what David just said? If something is labeled as a conspiracy theory, but there's facts hiding in plain sight, or there's conjecture about the conspiracy theory masquerading as fact. So it can be one or the other side of the coin. And so it's important to do your due diligence as you would for anything and just do a little more digging so you can understand, is this something that's really happening? Or is this something that is masquerading as fact? And you don't have to dig that far down, you know, in down layers wise to realize, okay, there's nothing holding this up. So it's something masquerading as fact. Or, oh my gosh, I've just opened a can of worms and there's so much here. I don't even know if I'll have time to go through it all.
Right. And to make this even more bizarre, in my opinion, just look at the Wikipedia definition of conspiracy theories, because that definition that I'm going to go over with you in a moment, it reinforces the denial that there are things happening outside of commonly known awareness. You know, it deflects covert happenings. So here's the Wikipedia definition of conspiracy theories. A conspiracy theory is an explanation for an event or situation that invokes a conspiracy by sinister or powerful groups, often political in motivation, where other explanations are more probable than the conspiracy. And what we want to impart is that this does happen, but so does the other side of the coin. In other words, there are times when somebody is peddling a conspiracy theory that on deeper investigation is just way off the mark. It's wacko in the extreme, if it's in the extreme, but it's at least way off the mark. The opposite is true too, that some things are labeled conspiracy theories that aren't conspiracies, nor are they theories. They are well established and just not widely known. So that's going to lead us into what Lori's going to share with you about, I think, a wonderful way of inquiring about conspiracies or things that are labeled conspiracies. She's going to go over a spectrum of different variations on quote unquote conspiracies that we hope is going to help you become more discerning about what's what.
Yeah. So, I mean, it isn't a spectrum. It's thinking about conspiracy theories along a spectrum, because that's probably, it's not black or white. If we're considering a possible conspiracy theory, it's not all or nothing and vice versa, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this idea of a spectrum, which is there's a little more fluidity to it. So covert things happening so this is on the one end, the farthest end, right? Things that are happening kind of covertly that we're made to believe, if there's any questioning of it or just inquiry, you know, not, it doesn't even have to be, I mean, when we say the word questioning, it's like, oh, it causes the other side to be defensive. It doesn't matter anyway.
I don't know what word you're looking for.
Yeah, it's okay.
Sorry.
It's an inquiry. It's reasonable to have inquiries about things that may be happening.
Accusations? Is that what you're talking
about?
Yeah,
that's right. That's the word. Yeah. So if we're questioning and it's accusatory, then, you know, that's not going to be the same thing as if we're just trying to understand what may or may not be happening. But when we're made to feel crazy, when we're made out to be crazy, if we think they're happening, and they may or may not be, but if they are and we're made to be crazy, well, that's the farthest end of the spectrum, right?
Oh, at one end of the spectrum.
Yeah, farthest end of the spectrum. So there's like a hidden mixed agenda. And well, now, okay, so that's one end of the spectrum. Then let's go to the middle part of the spectrum. There's a hidden mixed agenda where maybe what's happening is partly for the higher or the common good, but partly not. So maybe there's other interests involved that are sort of covering themselves up and making it look like they're, what's happening is for the higher good. That's, let's say, the middle part of the spectrum. And then on the other end of the spectrum is, you know, whatever's happening, whatever's going on is on the up and up. They're doing what they're saying they're doing. This could be an individual, a small group, a political party, an agency, any of the ways that we already referenced. But then there's people who project their sinister projections on it anyway, just because they can't believe that's actually really going on that way, right? And then there's everything in between. So we're just trying to give these three sort of like touch points where you can discover for yourself, well, is this a mixed bag? Is this really bad and it's being made out to not be bad, and we're being made crazy for even wondering what is going on there? And the furthest other end of the spectrum is it's really, there's nothing to see here, you know, even though people will want to make it out to be something going on.
Yeah.
So this is why it's really important for us to maintain our connection, continue to teach ourselves how to discern and stay clean before we make any big leaps about any supposed conspiracy theory. Because if we don't, we'll think that everything is a problem and nobody wants to live that way.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, the needle has moved over the last, 50, 75 years from more people than not believing things were on the up and up to more people than not thinking that things are pretty murky. So what I mean by that is that the generation before the baby boomers, they were called the greatest generation. They were the ones that came of age during World War II. By and large, that generation had a lot of faith in their institutions, in their government, in their leaders. They may not have agreed with their leaders at all times, many of them didn't, but they by and large believed that their leaders were well-intended and really trying to act on behalf of what was best for the country. And starting in the 1960s, as the baby boomers started coming of age, that started to shift where, you know, in the 1960s, the motto was, you can't trust anyone in the establishment. That was the term. The establishment was anyone who was over 30 years old was the establishment. And as that generation, which is Lori's and my generation, the baby boomer generation, our generation kind of kicked off a shift away from what in psychology or social psychology is called the just world theory, where the world is a fair place and a just place and good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people, to an increasingly pessimistic perspective. So we went from perhaps an overly optimistic perspective to the opposite. So now it's much more common for people to believe that businesses place profits over people, and Lord knows there are plenty that do. But what doesn't make the headlines is all of those businesses that aren't doing that, right? So what we've shifted from was, in my parents' generation, a belief in the just world theory. The world is a fair place and leaders are out to support us or to do the right thing, even if we disagree with how they're doing that, their hearts are in the right place, to an unjust world theory where everyone in power, everyone in a leadership role is by definition corrupt and untrustworthy and out to get us and controlled by special interests. And of course, there are some people that are that way. But what I'm trying to illuminate is this shift in the overall mindset from maybe too naively optimistic to too cynically pessimistic. Mm-hmm. And many are trapped in that just world ship, the ship that says it's a just world, mm-hmm. that's already sailed. And many are trapped in the opposite, in feeling, in seeing an unjust world all the time. Mm-hmm. And those extremes are part of what make us either impervious to considering things as that are labeled as conspiracy theories that aren't really conspiracies, and at the other side, dismissing everything that's labeled as a conspiracy theory. So this is part of what we really want to illuminate about how murky the whole conspiracy theory mindset has become.
Yeah, and you know, it just made me think, I really think that this is just one of many elements happening in the collective while we're alive at this point that is trying to get our attention for each of us to come back to center, because a citizenry that is at center more than not doesn't tolerate certain things, right? We don't tolerate certain behaviors. We don't tolerate conspiracy theories that are or actual happenings that are not serving, right? But the problem is that we don't have yet a critical mass of those who are operating from a center and in connection to the one thing, which is why we say it's the thing that we haven't tried yet en masse, right? That's our opening line for since the beginning of this podcast. So I don't know, I just think that's something really important to that is what motivates me to stay in my center and do the discernment and, you know, consider that just because there's a possible plot of some sort, that it doesn't necessarily mean that my narrative about it, about these things, or how widespread it is, or who's involved is accurate. It might be, but it might not be. This is the you know, the discovery thing that we referenced earlier. You know, if we're not discerning, again, if we're not discerning and we don't go inside and we don't have a practice for hearing, knowing, sensing a higher truth, you know, then we end up making poor choices in and around what we think is happening.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so one of the things that we want to propose is contemplating the question, what if all of this explosion of attention to conspiracy theories and dismissal of actual things as though they're conspiracies. What if this explosion of all of this confusion is actually happening as a wake-up call, as a gift to humanity in order to activate us individually and collectively into greater empowerment, higher expression, greater discernment, and awakened responsibility? What if we just shift our perspective about the conspiracy world in the direction of treating it as that kind of wake-up call to step up our higher capacity to view these various kinds of situations.
Right. Beautiful. And, you know, the lower human mind would say, oh, no, I can't possibly take my foot off the gas. I can't, you know, I can't do that, because then who's going to make sure the sky doesn't fall, you know? But actually, what David was saying about a greater empowerment and a higher expression and a next level awakened responsibility, out of all of those places that we would come from are solutions that we don't have access to when we're hunkering down around being right about a possible conspiracy theory. There's nothing serving there for us. Even if we are right about it, we don't have access to solutions. We don't have access to gathering with others who have already realized, I want to come from my greatest empowerment connected to the one thing, and I want to have a different expression regarding this particular topic, whatever the conspiracy theory topic is. So I believe that what the result would be if we did that is that we would pay attention to possible things that may be a real conspiracy, but instead of going into quicksand about it, that whole thing disappears. There's no more quicksand around conspiracy theories. And then we have the ability to sort of tease out the truth, as we've said before, and to unmask the happenings of the so-called conspiracy theory, and then deal with what is right about that, and then also deal with real conspiracies, real things that are happening, in ways that we can enhance them, you know, assuming we're all in agreement that it's for the betterment of all. That's the other thing that people get wigged out about with who's going to be right and who's going to determine what's the betterment of all. Well, if more people than not are connected to the one thing, there's more of a consensus, I think, is probably the best word. And that, you know, that's vital. That's vital for us moving forward as a humanity. So well, let me just see what else I wanted to say about that. Yeah, if we're in our center, this is the last thing I'll say about it. If we're truly expressing from a place of evolved empowerment, and it doesn't have to be every single person on the planet, you know, just some critical mass, then conspiracy theories hovering over us and being the boss of us vanishes.
Exactly. And that to Lori and me is one of the big keys to developing a more useful relationship with the conspiracy du jour, the conspiracy of the day, whether whether it really is a conspiracy theory, or whether it really is true, or whether it really is disinformation and propaganda. So the punchline for us around developing a more useful relationship with being in a world right now that is so infested with conversations about conspiracies is that conspiracies are not the number one problem.
Right.
Separation from source is the number one problem. Solving outer conspiracies, discerning what is and what isn't, then figuring out what to do about whatever you discover. Solving those outer situations and conspiracies starts with repairing inner connection. And that is the heart of the one thing.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. That is, I mean, if we said nothing else ever, that would be it. Yeah. But we know we have to say these things. I mean, just from my own learning, from David's learning, I think is fair to say, from people that we both, you know, teach and guide, we have to hear these things over and over and in slightly different ways until finally we go, oh, right. That's, of course, that's it.
I knew that. How come I forgot?
Yeah. Why did it take me so long? Anyway, we'd like to leave you with just a couple of takeaways, if you will, little practices that you can begin building this muscle on. And the first is that this idea of self-sovereignty, and self-sovereignty, again, as a reminder, is the who we are when we're connected to our higher self, to the presence of life, because there's a feed from that that we cannot get from the world. And that feed is really good. It carries solutions and answers to questions and, you know, you know, solutions to problems and like that. It is a hourly and daily practice. It's not something we just check in with every once in a while or flip a switch for and it feels good for a minute and then we're gone again or we're collapsed away from it. And, you know, that is the, if all everyone ever did on this planet was tend this piece, we could change our planet in less than a month. So just know that that's how important it is. And it's why we incessantly speak of it, right? Because, we're just without which we make too many mistakes. I don't know what that means.
Without
our connection, we're constantly making mistakes. We're constantly choosing not for our highest good or for the highest good of any collective that we're, you know, whether it's our family, our community, larger country, that, you know, on and on it goes, because everything we do affects the all, right? So we're inviting you and we're giving you a golden invitation. We're asking you, and honestly, we're literally begging you to do this differently. With
yes.
us. Yeah.
So that's the first takeaway. The second takeaway is it's perfectly okay to explore a possible conspiracy, but bring your higher self with you. Cross-check with more than one source and with higher wisdom, and then discern if you can whether it's covert fact hiding in plain sight or conjecture masquerading as fact. I'm going to say that again because that's a crucial distinction. There are certain things that are positioned by some people as conspiracy theories that are actually not conspiracy theories. They're actual facts. They're actually real. A little bit of research will show you that they're hiding in plain sight. But covertly, hiding in plain sight. And other things that are labeled as conspiracy theories are actually some individuals or groups' conjectures, theories that are being spoken about as though they are facts rather than conjectures. So if you're like me, I actually study conspiracy theories or things that are labeled conspiracies. I've gone down many, many, many rabbit holes. Some of them that I've gone down, I've ended up deciding they're utterly wacky. Some I've gone down and I've ended up deciding this is an agenda that's being pushed for an ideological motive having to do with control. And some rabbit holes I've gone down and I've gone, oh, yeah, this is real. It's hiding in plain sight. And the powers that be don't want us to see what's actually there to be seen. So if you can't fully verify a conspiracy that you feel called to explore, just hold it lightly as a possibility instead of using that conspiracy as justification for being self-righteous or getting angry or turning others into the enemy. That's called othering, turning others into the enemy. Hold it lightly. Stay the open skeptic. Mm-hmm. The truth will out in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, truth.
So that's the second takeaway. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say truth is a way more powerful energy than manipulation. So it.
Yes, and peace is a far more powerful state than agitation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And connection is a far more meaningful life than disconnection.
Yes.
So, and you know, it's okay when we're holding these questions and these for ourselves, these inquiries about whether something is true or not, it's okay to not know instantly. It's, you know, the meaning of holding two opposing considerations with as much grace as you can is the very idea of not yet knowing. And you'll know when you know, and especially if you're in heartful inquiry about something, right? And if it's important for you to enough for you to know, it will be important for you enough for you to hold the considerations until you find a real knowing inside. Now, this is where, you know, whatever you've practiced thus far in your life with your connection to the one thing, there is a knowing, and it's either visceral or it's a feeling of lightness in your heart or your gut area. We all have a slightly different way of going, oh, that is truth. I know that in the depth of my being, and every cell of my body is resonant with it, right? That's like an inner knowing. And that's not the same thing as, well, my sister's friend told me that so-and-so, you know, really investigated this and this is what they said. That's a bit removed. That's not yours. You don't own that. Yeah, you can always, if there's something that you're just not getting any resonance to, you can just come back to it later. But like David said, it's better to not know until you know than it is to start churning up all this unserving energy that is toxic to you and everyone around you. I mean, this is the division we see in the world right now, is in part based on this unwillingness to not other, and to not make the, and not to project onto another, because we're uncomfortable with not knowing yet.
Mm-hmm. Spot on. So those are our three takeaways for you from this. We really hope that this way of talking about conspiracy theories is giving you a frame of reference or a way of navigating the existence of these things in our world today in a more useful manner. Mm-hmm. And anything else you wanted to say?
Think, you know, when we do these podcasts, we have to talk about discernment. We have to discern and distill what could be a 6-hour conversation, you know, times 7 days, you know, into this like half an hour or 45 minutes. And so the point of our distillation is to give you fodder to sort of work with and grist to make your own, you know, take it from there and just sort of build your own momentum, if you will. So we Indeed. Hope you do that.
We do. We do. And I hope it's now clear to you why we didn't talk about any specific conspiracy theory, because that would have really blown the whole intention of this episode. Right?
Yeah. That's not our job.
No, it's not. So that leads us to what we're going to cover in our next episode, which is, I think, part of what contributes in a daily way to massive amounts of unnecessary confusion. And that is the insufficient clarity about the distinction between divine masculine and feminine versus animal masculine and feminine. We are both. We're in bodies, so we are animals that way. And we are divine. And in our next episode, we're going to be sharing with you what we understand about how to dissolve the confusion between what's divine and what's animal, so that we all can be better at stepping into the divine masculine and divine feminine in all of us, because we're not talking about biology here, or gender or any of that. We're talking about consciousness, masculine and feminine consciousness. So that's what we're going to be delving into in detail in our next episode.
Yay.
Yay. So until then, until next time, remember to dance with your better half, the one thing, so you can keep living more and more fully as Homo Spiritus.